Well, this week it's been a little journey as we've been looking at the total commitment of the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit to each one of us. And in one sense, I've been sort of sneaking up on you to get to this morning, because with every aspect that we look at of what God has done and His involvement with each one of us and His investment into our lives, there's got to be a response. Do you realize that? Jesus looked for response as He went about, as He preached the good news. And because He's a God who looks for that. Because as He does something, He's not forcing anything. Everything He does is an open invitation for men and women and boys and girls to respond to the goodness of the heart of God. And yet throughout the scriptures, we see that constantly God issues one of these. He issues a call. Wherever Jesus went, he issued that call. Whoever is weary and heavy laden, let him come to me. It was a call to come. If you're downcast, come to me. He was always saying, come to me. He cried over Jerusalem and said, you know, how I would have gathered you under my wings if you would have come. And you see, the call of God is issued to every one of us. Do you realize that? That God actually calls you to get on board with His purposes and plans. And yet He will never force anybody to respond to the call. And yet some people, what they do when they hear the call of God, they immediately exclude themselves. Because the first thing they say is, I'm not good enough. I'm not talented enough. I don't know enough. And yet never once when God issues a call does He say, come to me, all you who are talented and full of knowledge, and I will use you in abundance. He never says that. He just says, who can I send? Who will go? You see, sometimes we look at other people and then we disqualify ourselves because we think, oh, I'm not as good as them. You know, this week you've heard from two people who have answered the call of God. We saw last night when that presentation, I was just a very, very shy, as Christy mentioned that, I was a very shy Sunday school teacher, terrified of Dale. Understandable. Yeah. But then thought, I can respond to the call of God and do something. And, you know, she didn't sort of wake up in the morning thinking, presentations, puppet shows, props, blacklight. It was probably a little glove puppet or something. I don't know. You can ask her afterwards. She's around somewhere. Yeah. It started off small. You heard Brian the other night say how many years ago he responded to the call of God and said, I've got to stop being a state trooper and start doing evangelism full time to reach kids and families. How did it start off? Did he suddenly get a download of the fount of all knowledge and wisdom and everything that was needed? No, it was a learning process. And you see, so often we want to aim for perfection rather than taking the initial step. You see, when Jesus picked his disciples and he called them, he didn't give them perfection. There were a bunch of unschooled ruffians. There were people who said, God, just give us a word and we'll blast this village with fire. I mean, they were really trained, weren't they, in love and compassion and gentleness of spirit and humility. I mean, they just wanted to fry people. And maybe Jesus was going, boys, you just don't get this. And you see, some of you, during the course of this week, God has been stirring things in your heart. You've seen things, but you allow other people to disqualify you because you say, I'm not as good as them. I've got a file at home, and it's some of the early things I did when I was first starting off in ministry. And I look at my notes, And I look at them, and there's times I've looked at them and I thought, dear God, how on earth did they ask me back for another chance? I ain't got a clue, because I would have shot me after my first message. You see, but somebody probably thought, there's something there. I don't know what it is yet. I can't see it, can't smell it, can't taste it, but I've just got to, there could be something. And you see, that's what God does. He just looks at that, what he has invested in you. And all he says, will you answer that call? Will you answer that call to go beyond the limitations of where you are? Will you answer that call to dare to do something with that what he has invested in you this week? And you might not have the resources. You might say, but we haven't got the ability and the resources to do a mission trip with our team to go to Honduras. That's fine. But around here, there's other teams. And you could say, hey, could a couple of our team come with your team and go on this mission trip? It's the beginning. It's the spark. Look for opportunities so that you can answer the call of God. Because he's calling people all the time. And you see, with God's call also comes something else. And we see this constantly again in the Bible. It's his command. When he says, go into all the world, he makes a command. But we need to understand that when God commands, it's not a demand. Do you realize that? God's commands are never demands upon your life, because he's not a tyrant. His commands are an invitation for you to step into the more of what God has. Because unless you respond to his call and his invitation to move on, you'll never prove the investment of what God has. You'll never be able to tap in to the riches of the investment of the Holy Spirit. You see, we spoke about the Holy Spirit the other day. And the great thing of the Holy Spirit, who is in you if you believe in Christ, there's no lack in him. He has the full resource of heaven, and all he requires is for you to tap into it. And you see, when Jesus said, and he gave, and it's in our Bibles, we see it as, you know, the command, go into all the world. And it's not like, go, you better go, or else. You see, he doesn't do that. He invites you, and it's almost like, you know, will you go, or as you go, will you carry the good news that God is for you? That God wants to be with you and wants to be in you. That this God wants to change your life. It's a command so that you might respond not to a demand but to the invitation. You see, as the disciples went, they saw God doing incredible things. And unless we respond to his command to go, then we'll never see exactly what God has in store and what God could use us for. I read some time ago that the richest place on the face of the earth is not in the diamond mines of South Africa, and it's not in the oil fields of Arabia, but it's in the local cemetery. Because in the local cemetery are the dead dreams, the never realized visions, the untapped potential that is within everyone. And God looks at you and he says, I have invested far more in you than what you could possibly imagine. And that's why he says, go. You see, he says go, and he gives us the command to respond not to a demand but to an invitation, so that you can see the confidence he has in you. Do you realize that? When he says go, he's saying, I've got confidence that you can do everything that's on my heart. I love that. That the God of all creation looks down and he says, I've got confidence in you. You can do it. Go on. Be all that I've created you to be. What a God. That's total commitment from him. And all he looks for is a response. He's not going to demand it. He just invites it. Will you be totally committed to me? And you see, My last word, well, nearly my last word. It's a commission. You see, every one of us receives not just a royal commission, but a divine commission. You know, yesterday we had some fun with the, I forget what they call them now. It's Saturday, isn't it? You know, the guy was lopping off people's heads, wasn't he? And the Queen came out. And gladiators, that's right. And she knighted him, you know, arise, sir, head lopper off her or something or other. You know, I don't know. And that's what they used to do years ago, you know, in the country that you rejected and the realm that you moved away from. And she would knight people and she would give them a commission. And when they rose up, they were the same person, but they carried something different. The looks didn't change, their ability hadn't changed, but they'd got a royal investiture that opened doors. And when God looks down, he says, that's exactly what I've done with Jesus. I've given you a divine commission. In fact, Jesus said it himself. He said to his disciples and to you and me, as the Father has sent me, so I send you. How did he send Jesus? He sent him in weakness, trusting in his heavenly Father. He hadn't got it all worked out, but he was trusting in his heavenly Father. And God looks at you and me, he says, we haven't got it all worked out. But you can trust in your heavenly Father because he's commissioned you. He's given you a royal seal of approval. You see, we don't just do things in the name of a church or a denomination or a group. We're doing things in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You know, one of the things that I love doing when I was back in England, I love preaching on the streets. I take this on the streets, I start painting. It gathers a crowd because people are nosy. And they wonder what I'm doing. And before they know it, it's a bit like fishing, you catch them. And I was in full flow, and this policewoman come along, and she said to me, excuse me, sir, do you have permission to be here? I said, yes, officer, and I just carried on. And the crowd doubled, because they all wanted to see if I was going to be arrested. It's a fun thing in England, let's see who can get arrested next, you know. So I carried on, and she says, excuse me, sir, do you have written permission? And I says, I certainly do. And I carried on, and I knew that my time was limited, so I started to round up my message. And I could see her sort of looking and nodding, and she walked in, and I said to the crowd, I says, you know, any minute now, I says, I'm going to have my collar felt, and the officer over here who's only doing the duty is going to stop me. But if you want to know, and she came across, and she says, do you have written permission with you? I says, I certainly do, officer. And I carried on, and she sort of stood there looking, and she says, can I see it? So I said, you certainly can. So I bent down in my box and I picked up my Bible. I said, just have a quick look through there. And I finished off the meeting. and she said, I need something more than this. I says, listen, love. I'm sorry, officer. You won't get anything more than that because that's my commission from on high. And I said, thank you very much for listening, ladies and gentlemen. Before I go, and I just gave a response. And the crowd had trebled by this point because I got the officer doing a double act with me. Right? But you see, the thing was that there's a commission. And you see, when you know that you have a commission from on high, it doesn't matter what difficulties are in front of you, you press on. Because you realize that if God is for me, if God has called me, if God has commanded me, then who can be against me? That he's going to work his purposes out anyway. And as you face the rest of this year, as you go from iFest, I want you to understand something, that in total commitment, God has heard the call of your heart. And he calls to your heart. He speaks a command, which is an invitation. Just as you gave an invitation to him, come into my life. He looks down and he says, I'm glad you said that, because I want you to be part of my life forever. And he looks and he says, as you walk through this life, you'll know the commission from on high, giving you the resource and the availability of heaven for everything that you need to do, because there's no lack. And this year, as you go into another year that is unknown, like it is for us all, then God gives you that invitation to say, dare to be different. Dare to trust me. Dare to step up a gear. Dare to push the boundaries back and see what I will do. Because I am with you always, even to the very end of the age. What a commitment from him. Now I know what you're thinking. What are the last words on the board? I'll tell you next year. That fooled you. It's simply the cry of heaven. Who can I send? Who can I send? And who will go for us? And Isaiah, his response was, here I am, Lord. Send me. I'll answer that call. I'll respond to your command. And I'll go knowing I'm commissioned with the authority of heaven. I'm going to ask Ferrell to come back for a moment. He's going to be hidden behind there. But I want us to stand and just simply sing as we close this devotional part of iFest. That well-known old song, but it's powerful. It echoes through the heavenly places. He is Lord. He is Lord. He is risen from the dead. And he is Lord. And you know, if we have that awareness within us that he is risen, he has conquered every foe that needs defeating, then it gives us a confidence. And as we go, we know that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. I'm glad I serve him. Aren't you? Amen. Amen. Let's sing together. He is Lord. He is Lord. He is risen from the dead and he is Lord. He shall bow, every tongue confess, Jesus Christ is Lord. And Father, we pray that in the Lordship of Jesus, you would find hearts and lives this day that wouldn't disqualify themselves because of a measure of humanity against another human being, but men and women and young people who would qualify themselves because you look down and you say, I send you because I believe in you, not because you believe in me. And we thank you this day that you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, believe in the investment of eternal life that you've placed within each one of us here. And we pray that in this coming year, that it would produce fruit 30, 50, 70, and 100 fold in the labors that we are about, so that more voices would proclaim Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. Amen. Amen. God